Thank you very much, Chairperson, and good morning to you and to the honourable members of the committee and the representative of the Parliamentary Monitoring Group, as well as the staff of the department. Chairperson, I'd like to introduce one of our members. I think you members of the committee would have met all the other senior staff of EDD. Sitting next to Deputy Minister is Mr. Kumaran Naidu. He's playing the role as Acting Director General of the Economic Development Department. Ms. Jenny Shiner has been redeployed to the Presidency, and she's taking on the responsibility of rebuilding one of the departments in the Presidency, namely the Department responsible for it. Kumaran Naidu is a senior person in is the group CFO previously of the DTI. He has considerable experience running not just the DTI's finances and accounting, but that of all of its agencies. So we were very grateful that we could get a senior person and a steady pair of hands. And he's very connected to EDD, he's done work with EDD during our transition period. The other members of the management team is known, two members of the committee, and I will then, Chairperson, proceed immediately to the presentation. By way of a contextual remark, I should mention that we've tabled the strategic plan, as well as the annual performance plan. We certainly had previously a presentation for today. We've also made available this morning a slightly updated version of the presentation that has a bit of economic data, just by way of contextualizing the presentation. I'm going to use the screen, Chairperson, that the information should be in the printed copy, should honourable members wish to follow it. So So the first slide, slide 2, recalls me it is ended. It's well known to members of the committee, priorities on job creation, inclusive of industrialization, alignment of the state, direction to develop and finance institutions, and strategic direction to key regulations on competition and employment. Context of our work is also well known, so I have three, and I'm going to deal with these in a little bit more detail, but aware of headlines, we look always at what happens with the global economy, the domestic economy, the performance of provinces, the triple challenges of poverty, inequality and unemployment, public agencies and regulators, and finally, our relationship with social partners. By way of economic context, our GDP is just a whisker short of 3.8 trillion. So context is roughly the same size as an economy like Iran, or Malaysia, or Denmark, or Colombia. We have currently 15.3 million of Africans who are employed. That is 1.7 million more and when the new growth path was adopted in October 2010. I've been looking a little bit more at the composition of this growth, and in future meetings with the committee I may be able to do a presentation on some of these. But about 1.8 million more Black South Africans were working in 2014 than in 2010, showing that we are successful in creating jobs in the population cohorts with the highest level of unemployment. It's really where a lot of our attention has to go. The South African economy is deeply integrated in the global economy. Sometimes public fora when a government representative says that our performance is influenced by the global economy, there are remarks like, hang on guys, don't blame others. But actually when you look at the indicators they make for a very interesting thing, if you take our exports, for example, this is one indicator, as a percentage of GDP is 30%. There are very few countries with such a large exposure to the global economy. Last year, the global economy grew by 3.3%, which is significantly lower than the growth rate of 5.7% before the global recession, or 5.4%, which we achieved, or that the global economy achieved in 2010. So the story there really is the international context matters. Demand for our goods and prices for our goods are affected. Members of the committee may recall yesterday seeing the latest story on what's happening to iron ore prices. They're basically tumbling at home. And the impact of that and platinum represent challenges to the South African economy. But it's not just happened what happens elsewhere in the world. It's also what we do and what happens in the domestic economy. And here, the most critical factors that influence our immediate economic performance, or our long-term economic performance, but immediate performance, are the contextual industrial relations, which are in turn fuel the high levels of income inequality, and energy shortages. Energy shortages, that means major new investment is constrained. So if you take a combination of your global developments and your domestic developments, then you can see the impact on growth. Our growth rate is currently 1.5%, which is lower than what is needed to achieve our national development goals. Across the world, countries are battling with growth. It's a big story in Europe. The European Union is battling now to get to 1.5%. They estimate if all goes well, they may be able to get to 1.5% early in this new year. Youth unemployment is a critical concern for South Africa. I attended a recent United Nations conference that noted that the world needs 600 million new jobs, mainly for young people. But in this context, we've made some real but not sufficient progress. In 2010, when the new growth path was adopted, where 5.7 million young people aged 104 were employed. This has grown to 6.1 million now, an increase of 416,000 new jobs for youth. while the number of unemployed youth grew by 13,000. However, and I want to highlight this, we've also inherited an enormous number of young people who have not been able to find jobs. And even though mysterious, we are finding the relatively robust job creation for young people. The overall storyline is one that remains worrying, and we need to do a lot more. The government has set out its overall vision in the National Development Plan, its economic growth strategy in the growth path, and action plans in programs such as IPAP, ACAP. ACAP is a new one to the families, the Agriculture Policy Action Plan, and the National Infrastructure Plan. So because this issue has come up in the past, how all of these relate, we thought we would just briefly set that up. That the country vision is set out in the NDP, the economic strategy in the growth path, and the action plan, i.e. what do you do each year, what are the practical steps you take in IPAP, APAP, and the National Infrastructure Plan. And government, this administration has developed a single time-bound framework of action that brings all of this together, the medium-term strategic framework, which was adopted by cabinet last year, shortly after the general elections. So that represents the context of our work. The previous presentation, which was given by the Deputy Minister of Economic Development, presented a conceptual framework for the strategic plan and the annual performance plan. That was the meeting held in Soweto. Today, this presentation will build on that. I'm not going to repeat what Deputy Minister said. I'm going to take all of those points as background. And the presentation today sets out the details of the department's key performance indicators and what we call products or outputs. We set ourselves an ambitious task. Three programs to organize the department around, six strategic objectives to provide direction, 23 key performance indicators that gives effect to our strategic objectives, and 164 products or outputs that we can say we measure ourselves by. Through the work that we will explain now, we align the work of EDD with that of government as a whole, drawing on not only the framework spoken about, but also what we set out in the expenditure framework, the END, and the Zona 9-point plan. Members of Parliament will be familiar with the fact that our medium-term strategic framework has 14 outcomes, each to a greater or lesser extent affects economic development, or economic development affects each of these. The ones in the red are specifically the ones that have a significant impact on the work of EDT, namely employment, skills, and infrastructure. So the 9-point plan sets out the vision that was made before the nation, that the state organizes its work around. There's the detail are contained in the medium-term strategic framework. But in the big picture, the 9-point plan are set out in the slide number 9. In this policy, energy, agriculture and agro-processing, mining and beneficiation, the industrial policy action plan, which is industrialization, private sector investment, workplace conflict, small and medium enterprises, as well as co-ops, township and rural enterprises, the infrastructure areas, and the ocean economy. The role of the strategic plan in ABT is well known to members of the committee, so I don't need to explain you. It lays out key objectives in the SAP plan, and ABT is an implementation plan, it's an annual target, and aims to enhance implementation and accountability. Slide 11 is a big summary of what follows. So to give the summary, three programs. Program on its administration. It has one strategic objective, and that objective says that administration must support all the other work of the department. It has two products or outputs set out. are the two key performance indicators. Program 2 is on girls and job survivors. It's got two strategic objectives. The first dealing with job survivors and implementation of the NGP in support of the National Development Plan and facilitating social dialogue and implementation of reforms. There are 22 products or outputs organized around six key performance indicators. Program 3 deals with investment, competition, and trade, and it has three strategic objectives dealing with infrastructure, investment and funding, and competition and trade regulation. It has 140 products organized around 25 key performance indicators. So what are these objectives and KPIs? In the rest of the presentation, Chairperson, we'd like to take the committee briefly through them. Strategic objective 1 is to provide guides to the department, that's what the ministry does, and technical and administrative support to the ministry and department, that's what the line units do, to achieve our objectives around jobs, growth, and investment, infrastructure, and competition and trade. There are two KPIs for this objective. The first KPI deals with an unqualified audit, and the second one on a user survey, and which the Executive Committee through the two. KPI 1 is set out on page 13. It's quite a simple KPI, which is to achieve an unqualified audit report. We've organized the rest of the slides, Jefferson, so that on one slide, members of Parliament can see the three-year program as well as the one-year program broken into quarters. In the annual performance plan that we tabled in Parliament, these tables are set out on different pages. So we brought them together so it's simpler and clearer to see all the things relating to single key performance indicator. This one is simple. In the first three quarters of the financial year, we essentially will respond to the AG's queries on audit reports 2014-15. In other words, by fixing each of the management report challenges that the Auditor General identifies, we further improve our audit for the following year. And in quarter four, the Auditor General would have done an interim audit report, the final one, and we would have an opportunity to respond to the AG queries. Obviously, sitting under this are the day-to-day financial controls, systems, and so on that ensures that the next audit should also be an unqualified audit. So that's what KPI 1 would say now. KPI 2 is a completely new KPI, a completely fresh idea. KPI 2 will measure the improvement in the support services of administration to the strategic objectives of the department. Let me put it this way, Jefferson. How does one know if one's IT is good, or our HR, or our finance? Obviously, one way is simply to look at the rules, so they comply with the rules. But that's standing the audit. The Auditor General does that. The more important one is, do they help us to achieve our goals on infrastructure, on investment, on jobs, on growth of those areas? And so we will be introducing a new system in the department in which the frontline functions of the department will give feedback on a systematic basis on how well the back office is assisting them to achieve their objectives. It's an idea that comes out of smart governance, where countries elsewhere in the world are experimenting with delayering their bureaucracies. They're using this. Big multinational corporations are also beginning to use this kind of system to ensure that support functions bring support. Trade unions are well run at exactly the same question. NGOs. So we're taking where the best organization is saying how can we smarten up the state. you can't evaluate IT culture, you've got to evaluate it in how it supports the core functions of the South African public, expecting from the department, on jobs, growth, infrastructure, investment, and so on. So what we do is, in year one, we'll establish a baseline in the system. In year two, we'll set an additional numerical target, and in year three, a further target. So we stretch over a couple of years to ensure that the service levels improve. For this year as a whole, in quarter one, we've introduced the system on a pilot basis, trained staff in how the system works, and by quarter four, we'll obtain the full feedback and evaluation, and we will know where the problems are in the department with its back office. Strategic objective two is the first of the objectives that now hook our core mandate. And that is to coordinate job drivers and the implementation of the NGP economic strategy in support of the National Development Plan. Members of Parliament may recall that we've got 10 job drivers in the new health farm. We've done systematic work on infrastructure. We've done more ad hoc work on all the other job drivers. We now want to do systematic work on each of the job drivers. So we've given ourselves 5 key performance indicators for the strategic object that we're set out there. Okay, macro and microeconomic policy, support for job drivers, the green economy, employment and accommodation for women and youth, and special initiatives. So to turn to each of these, in turn, KPI 3, page 16, is about integrating the NGP framework in macro and microeconomic policy and infrastructure initiatives, including the selective impact assessments, updating the operational parts of the NGP where necessary, all as part of strengthening implementation. For the 3-year plan, in year one we have a number of products, the same in year two and in year three. So let me break down for year one what we will do. So at the bottom of the slide, in quarter one, in other words, in 1.5 time, we would have 2.5 months, right? If you keep myself, this is from 2.5 months time, by the end of June, we would have completed the cabinet memo on the Competition Act. And we would have completed the report on the new growth part in terms of employment growth, what is happening to jobs in the economy. In quarter two, we have completed a system to quantify infrastructure's impact on growth and jobs, both looking at what we're currently doing on infrastructure, but also as we tweak the infrastructure program, what will be its impact on growth and jobs. It becomes a tool that can be used by treasury and line departments to see how to shift spending. The World Bank recently released a report looking at the state of economic development across the world. And in the case of South Africa, they singled out infrastructure as an area that they were very pleased at our focus. So we want to build up the tools that will allow us to achieve more through infrastructure. In quarter three, we want to do a report reviewing the operational sections of the NGP where necessary. So which ones require review. And latest by quarter four, latest I would emphasize, we want to have completed the economic development conference. We're negotiating at the moment with international speakers, and as soon as we confirm their availability, then we'll set the dates for the economic development conference and focus on that. And we're very keen this year to look possibly at the question of the GDP itself, but we're in the process of finalizing. KPI 4 is the strategic support of the job drivers of the growth fund. Now what does that mean? It means we want to monitor implementation across the state. We want to address blockages as required. We want to identify new opportunities in these job drivers But we also want to share what are the efforts that we need to address. And in year one, I'll come back with, we've got two initiatives, which I'll talk to you in a moment. In fact, if you go to year one first, then you go to year two and three, it's easier. At the bottom of the page, on the screen, indicating where it is, by quarter four, we have completed work to provide strategic support for two jobs drivers of the NGP and to monitor the impact in the economy. Those two jobs drivers would be agriculture and agro-processing and mining and beneficiation. So what we've done on infrastructure, by the end of the financial year, we want to have achieved on these two. Lift them up, focus on them, indicate what the state is doing, what the private sector is doing, where we failing, where we succeeding, what next we need to do, what the risks are, and so on. So there is a single coherent narrative that policymakers can focus on, that Parliament can look at, that the public can see we're doing, changes the structure of the economy. If I go back about year two, next year, we want to do three initiatives, dealing with African integration and the green economy as two of the three. And in 2017-18, we want to focus on tourism, high-level services, and knowledge-based sectors. If I go to KPI 5, it's to support the development of the green economy and the implementation of the green economy, of course. Three initiatives this year, next year, and the following year. In the current financial year, the following KPIs are to be achieved by quarter two, in other words, by the end of September. We want to have completed an initiative to improve jobs and localization of investments and public programs in support of the green economy at core. So we want to be able to have one of the initiatives that we're working on brought to a conclusion. By quarter four, that's at the end of March 2016, we want to take a second key initiative in this area of jobs and localization of investments in support of the green economy at core and bring it to a conclusion. KPI 6 is to facilitate increased access to employment and entrepreneurship for black women and youth in the context of stronger support for emerging and small enterprises. So in year 1, 2, and 3, we have initiatives in this area. And for year 1, in quarter 2, we want to have completed an initiative to strengthen a program directed at youth employment based on the IBCC for funding. So we must be able to come back and say, not just that we made money available, but this is a programmatic impact that is a set of entrepreneurs that have benefited from it, young people that have benefited from being brought into the economy. And by quarter three, by the end of December, we want to have completed the academy on the implementation of the youth employment accord. KPI 7 is the number of special, local, and provincial initiatives to promote employment, empowerment, and development. 8 initiatives for this year, 10 for next year, and 10 for the following year. For this year, in the first quarter, we have 3 initiatives. These initiatives will work on provincial economic development plans. So we'll take 2 provincial economic development plans and see what support and backing national government can give to the provinces achieving those plans. So while we work with all the provinces to focus on 2, where there's going to be an attempt through a pilot process to really deepen the support for those provinces. In quarter 2, we want to have completed 1 substantial piece of work relating to the MINMEC. That's the meeting of ministers and MECs. That'll be the technical work, the research, the presentations, the secretarial work for the meetings, and so on. in addition to that, we want to do one initiative to support the integration of infrastructure investment with a special initiative. So that's where we'll work with the PICC with one province to see how we can strengthen the impact of infrastructure in that province. Quarter three, we have one initiative to support the alignment of all the provincial APPs with the medium-term strategic framework. So we would have had an opportunity in a few months to see how the APPs working. And at this stage, people would be, provinces would be getting ready to finalize the APP for the next financial year. So we would try to work with them to increase the impact because it's quite uneven, the provincial APPs. And we'll do one initiative to ensure the impact of industrial funding in the province or region. And what we'll do in the region itself is, so in one province, we'll see how can we connect the funding agencies, the development agencies, on the book if you need it, raised for in the past. So we picked up on it in the APP, how can we connect what metros are doing, what the province is doing, and what national government is doing. Because those agencies all are ultimately supported by the taxpayer. So they've got to integrate their thinking and code and economic effects. In quarter four, we want one initiative to support improved social and economic conditions in mining regions, and one initiative to support local governments, green the economy, and for promoting employment. So those would be the eight initiatives for the year, two per quarter, but very different areas of focus. Strategic objective three is facilitate social dialogue and implementation of social cause. There's one KPI here because we're integrating social dialogue throughout the work of ED. So we don't want lots of standalone ones because they're now more integrated, but there are three standalone products or outputs for this year. The third is to take forward discussions on the outcome of the labor relations in Dar. It brings together the three trade union federations, the two main business organizations in the country and government. It is led by the deputy president, and it's addressing inter alia the question of the discussion on minimum wages, as well as discussions on labor market instability, the levels of strikes and stoppages. So part of the work is to see can we help make this initiative achieve something beyond the leaders meeting. The second one is to complete the work on one skills initiative of the infrastructure program. We've done quite a bit of work here, so now we need to do a bit of social dialogue on it and complete that. And the third one is to commence work on the compliance monitoring system for stamp procurement from domestic manufacturers. So we put in place all the regulations. That's done now. How well are departments and provinces, public agencies and municipalities implementing it? There isn't a system to measure that coherently. It's done on a sample basis, so we could work on a more coherent system. Strategic objective four is to coordinate infrastructure development and strengthen its positive impact on the economy and on citizens. There are six key performance indicators for those objectives. They inform cabinet on progress to unblock fast track and facilitate infrastructure, to implement decisions, to hold meetings, and to implement one of the six, and I'll come back to that, and to localize the components of the infrastructure program. And KPI 9, we look here at the number of special local and provincial initiatives. KPI heading is a little bit wrong here. This is the KPI is, should read, the number of progress reports to cabinet on the 18 strategic integrated projects. In the 3-year plan, it was 60 in year 1, 60 in year 2, and 60 in year 3. And here, each quarter, we report to cabinet, so we do 15 reports per quarter on infrastructure. KPI 10 is the number do you plan to do 8 this year, 8 next year, and 10 the following year? And by quarter four, we will have 8 initiatives to unlock obstacles in the infrastructure rollout as identified by the IHCC. So these differ from time to time. We get a phone call, we get email, or we go on a site visit, we see a problem, and then we put teams together to fix that. KPI 11 is the number of cabinets and PICC strategic decisions on infrastructure that we implement. We want to do 4 major ones a year, and by quarter 4 we hope all 4 would have been completed. KPI 12 is the number of PICC meetings held and facilitated. The 3-year plan is to have 30 meetings a year across the PICC Council, the Management Committee, the Secretariat, and the Subcoordinators, and to provide coherent research, administrative, technical, and other support. 7 meetings in quarter 1, 8 meetings in quarter 2, 10 meetings in quarter 3, and 8 meetings in quarter 4. KPI 13 is to drive implementation of SIP 5 of the National Infrastructure Plan. There are 18 SIPs. I've been assigned responsibility by the President to chair SIP 5, and therefore we've also put it into the Department APP, and means 1 meeting a quarter. And with that meeting, of course, it's not simply convening people, it's all the work that will have to go in. It's an intergovernmental meeting, so it will involve 2 provinces, the municipalities, Transnet, ESCOM, the other agencies, the IDC, and we then unblock. API 14 is to support programs that will drive the localization of infrastructure itself. And this would be infrastructure, whether it's taxis or buses or trains or turbines or so. 2 initiatives this year, 3 next year, 4 the following year. In the current financial year, by 42, we would have wanted to complete 1 initiative to enhance local procurement, and by 44, 1 initiative to enhance local procurement. So the work starts immediately, but by the end of each of these quarters that we've named, we want to be able to come back and say we've completed that piece of work. Strategic objective 5 is to promote investment, industrial funding, and a top initiative for jobs and inclusive growth. There are 5 KPIs. They are on investment initiatives, industrial funding, finance available, efficiency, and connecting investment and infrastructure. So if I take them one by one, KPI 15 is the number of investment initiatives facilitated fast track to unblock. This year we went to 10, next year 12, and then after 14. So this would be by quarter 4, we would want to complete all 10. They're basically where foreign or domestic investors experience problems in expanding their investment. So the objective here is to ensure that we are able to assist those investors ready to invest in South Africa, whether they're South Africans or foreigners, to be able to do so by helping them to navigate the problems that we sometimes encounter in our investment environment. KPI 16 is to establish and monitor industrial funding targets to identify jobs drivers and the township economies. Through this year, as a case study, 3 next year and a case study, and 3 the following year and a case study. So for this year, in quarter 1, we want to have completed a case study to monitor industrial funding project the township enterprise. So what we will do is we will come back and you will have a report to say, we've now invested in the following township enterprises. These are the companies, these are the successes, these are the problems. And we do that because that allows us then to retool, because we don't think we're doing enough and we're doing it extremely well. So we're going to start by identifying the problems and sometimes the successes and see how really cool our engine is. By quarter four, we want to have completed an initiative to review and start funding targets, jobs drivers like departments and DFIs. So we must say by then the IEC must be able to have a clear target on agro processing as a result. Or the National Empowerment Fund should have a target that's working on, for example, the green economy. And we want to have completed one initiative to review and establish funding targets for cultural enterprises. So members of Parliament can see the relationship between the work in quarter one and quarter four. So all the technical work would be done in quarter two, three, and four, to get the budget ready to be able to say this is how we're going to push the investment in township economies. KPI 17 is a report on increases in industrial finance available from the development finance institutions and departments, but also the impact on job creation. Four reports this year, four next year, four following years. In this financial year, four reports will be as follows. The first one will quantify the levels of industrial funding available under a select number of DFIs. Now, we plan to go incrementally beyond just the DFIs that EDD manages. So we're working with other departments to see how we can create a wider envelope that the state can see what is the funding available under the different DFIs. The second report will quantify the levels of industrial funding available under different government departments. So here we work cooperatively initially with BDI and DAF to see how we can identify what is available at national, provincial and local level for funding for example, in agriculture. The third report will monitor the job impact of the IDC's work and engage with the IDC to improve the job development impact of funding. So we don't just take the numbers that we've got up to now. Now we're going to begin to interrogate those numbers and see what the shifts look like. What else can the IDC do to deepen jobs-rich industrialization? And the fourth one will monitor the job impact of shared government incentives. So we'll go beyond DFIs and the money that comes through the budget and say what's the impact of jobs money. For example, the business process services of the DTI runs. How are we getting jobs out of that? If so, where? Are they sustainable? What's the problems and so on? KPI 18 is strategic engagements with the development finance institutions to improve their efficiency and to speed up project approval times. Five engagements this year, four next year, and for the following year. These five engagements with the DFIs will benchmark and facilitate improved turnaround times for them to approve projects and disbursements, including for projects of categories of applicants. So we're going to look here below the aggregate data that, for example, the IDC gives us, and say, in agro processing, is the IDC moving with speed? Do their approval dates take into account the planting seasons of farmers? And sometimes, does the bureaucracy of our approval processes mean that a company misses an entire planting season? So it's really time to work through. We think we've done very well in bringing the overall approval times of the IDC down, but there are still a number of subsectors where we believe we're not doing well enough. And it's now to get into that, to understand what the problems are, to work with the DFIs and the IDC to bring that further down. KPI 90 is to connect infrastructure with productive investment, including through what we call offtake agreements. An offtake agreement is if we are going to provide a rail line, that we need to ensure that there are companies that would use that rail line. So they sign agreements with Transnet on a take-or-pay basis where they undertake to utilize the rail line. so that without both infrastructure, there goes nowhere that nobody uses. That is an economic user, that is also a social user, with communities and municipalities being off-takers on the infrastructure. this year, 1XN won the following year. By quarter four, we would have wanted to complete the initiative to ensure off-take agreements for commercial use of infrastructure and the investment of component manufacturing. The final strategic objective is to promote competition, trade and economic regulation in support of job creation, industrialization and social inclusion. There are four KPIs that deal with regulators, cartels, trade authorities and administrative efficiencies. KPI 20 is strategic engagements to support the strengthening of economic regulators through capacity building, administrative support and consolidation where necessary. Now year by year, it's a 3-year program, it's a 5-year program in the MPCF. We'll work with more regulators than just the ones that report to EDD. So working with our colleagues in Cabinet, we'll see how we can lift the overall standard of regulators in the economy. In year one, by the end of quarter two, we would want to have completed a capacity building initiative that successfully shares the experience of the competition authorities from the BRICS countries. So we want to be able to benchmark our work against what is done in India, China, Brazil and Russia. See where we can learn from them. What are they doing better than us? See where they can learn from us and share that experience and then retool. By quarter four, we want to have commenced work, not completed it, but we have commenced work to review the existing role capacity and training of regulators across the state, to assess the capacity needs of different regulators and make proposals on how to improve the capacity of regulators. And maybe ask a big question, do we have too many regulators, but some of them weren't overlapped, should they be consolidated, or are they catching the regulatory environment? So there we will also look at what long-term courses can the universities offer to improve the training of regulators. KPI 21 is to ensure the competition authorities address the abuse of market power and support employment, industrialization and development objectives. Two reports this year, two next year, two the final year. In quarter four, what will be our two reports that we would have completed by quarter four? The first report will assess the public interest clauses in collective mergers and acquisitions. So we'll go through a number of mergers that the competition authorities have approved over the years. What were the public interest conditions? Were they around jobs? Were they around small business development and so on? Did they work? What happened? Did the companies adhere to it? Does the competition authorities have systems to monitor it? And can we say that we are achieving public interest outcomes through the competition process? The second report will be an assessment of the impact of actions against selected cartels or dominant players. And here, what we mean is looking beyond just the fines that we're imposing. We say, okay, so we've taken action in fertilizer markets. They've paid fines, they've done various things. What's the impact now? Are the prices coming down? Or are prices at least not going up as fast as they did before? Are new entrants coming in? Is it a more competitive space? And that really is an area of work I'm really looking forward to, Jefferson, because it now takes us beyond the numbers. We need to get the numbers right initially. We needed to send out the signal, we've got teeth in Melbourne that we can punch. But now we need to make sure that the impact of this thing is helpful to the economy and to ordinary South Africans, small businesses, and to new entrants. The second last KPI is ensure trade authorities and trade policies support industrialization, jobs and other national development. Finish this year. By quarter one, in other words, by June, we want to have done an analysis of trade flows for the policy implications. Who do we sell to? Who do we buy from? What do we sell? What do we buy? What are the policy implications? I put the four, we want to have completed the strategic engagement or initiative on trade policy. And then the final KPI is to engage with the trade and competition authorities to improve the administrative efficiencies. In three engagements this year, four next year, and five the following year. In quarter four, we won't have wrapped up the work and had three engagements that would have had a material impact on administrative efficiencies and compliance by the competition and trade authorities. And this is just making them more user-friendly for sort of the things. So those are the KPIs. That's really the heart of the presentation, Chairperson, honorable members. The next few slides briefly summarize the implementation issues. We've got 23 KPIs that I've outlined now, and they set out 164 output and products. It will require the department to work smartly. It means the key issue that the executive authority, Deputy Minister, and I will focus on is the impact of the work. In other words, the impact in communities. So that the department does not focus only on processes. It doesn't help us to say a meeting was held, find a meeting was held. But now, what's the impact in a community or the economy? So that's the hard questions that the Deputy Minister and I are now asking. With each KPI, no longer just as you hold your sessions, but also what's the impact of that. The main tools that are available to achieve our outputs are the budget of the department, the human resources of the department, both our current human resources and the future ones, and the agencies inside EDD but also outside EDD, including the TICC technical teams, regulators, and DFIs. The organizational structure of the department has been revised. The full details are set out in the APP document tabled in Parliament. I just want to summarize at high level the logic of it. The main changes that have been made and will now be implemented following all the necessary processes are four programs that have been consolidated into three. Policy, planning, and social dialogue have been brought together. They've been integrated into a program. And that program now is a new and fresh focus, and the focus is on the jobs drivers. In other words, we're shifting principally from policy development, which we need to do in the first few years of the new growth path. But now that we've got a national development plan in place as our overall policy framework, and the new growth path has been approved, we've got to focus much on implementation. So it's a refocus for the department into implementation. Secondly, the regulators in the competition and trade area, the DFIs like the IDC, and all the work on infrastructure have been consolidated into a new program so that we connect and integrate these areas. There's a definite connection between each of these as I pointed out in some of the KPIs. So we're bringing them more closely together, breaking down silos and integrating them. Within those, the different agencies will continue to report in a normal way. CEPA, as a small enterprise finance agency, is intended to remain a wholly owned subsidiary of the IEC. But strategic responsibility for its operations will be shifted to the Minister of Small Business Development. So Minister Zulu and I have agreed on this. The President has made this point. It's been announced previously. But I thought it's important to just highlight this as an area here in looking at how the organogram works. Starting in capacity, the funded establishment for the current financial year is 149 persons. 127 posts have been filled. Staffing criteria for new appointments have been revised to take account of the new KPIs and the skills required for these. So it's a different kind of criteria we're now applying, whereas previously a lot depended on whether you had the necessary academic qualifications. However, what more is, can you actually ensure a local project in a local area is successfully implemented? We have staffing of full-time employees, of course, but this will now be complemented, as I indicated in the APP and strat plan tabled in Parliament. These will be complemented by setting up an expert and advisory panel to provide high-level capacity. And just to illustrate, it could be in areas like infrastructure development, economic policy, social dialogue, competition policy. I gave the example that we've been able to attract a senior advisor, Professor Joseph Stiglitz. You never get someone like this coming to work in a government department, but you can put him in an expert advisory panel and you can get the benefit of it. But even in the domestic economy, there are enormous talented South Africans that are not working in this space and whose efforts and energy should be deployed to the work that we need to do. And they're not going to work full-time in the department, but through these panels we can utilize them much more. The National Planning Commission was an excellent example of how the state utilized a wide layer of technical capability in the state. ED will also commission work through public institutions like CSIR and universities where appropriate to source additional intellectual and practical expertise. So we realize that if we're going to achieve the KPIs at a different level, not simply at whether the meetings were held, but whether there's an impact, then we've got to really look at capacity. And that's going to be the big challenge that we know every government department has to give effect to the medium-term strategic framework. The budget, the portfolio committee and honourable members are very familiar with the budget. Just briefly, the headlines, $885 million this year, of which $753 million is transferred to agencies, and $152 million is for the department's operations. They divide it into the three programs, and some are set out there. $23 million in administration, and because so much of the administration budget is compliance with the PFMA, with HR regulations and so on, we need to sweat that asset much more. And that is why KPI 2 has been introduced, to make sure that each of the people working in administration now impact much more substantially on our strategic objectives on jobs, infrastructure, investment, and so on. That you can't have, and so much of the budget tied up in simple bureaucracy, it's got to find its way of impacting on the projects. $28 million on the growth part and social dialogue work, and $41.4 million on competition and trade and investment areas, which also covers some of the monies around the PICC support. Members of the committee would have noticed a fairly significant drop in the budget in 2016-17, so that would be the following financial year. That is because a grant of $204 million for CIFA's economic competitiveness package ceases at the end of this current financial year. What we'll now be working with Minister Zulu is to see what do we need to do differently on small business funding in the next financial year. And then we'll go together to National Treasury and put in place support arrangements as needed. The next steps, we're integrating our department outcomes within the wider medium-term strategic framework. It's the first year that's been done so consistently. We're not the only ones doing it. It's now we only introduce the outcome-based approach at the start of the fourth administration. And it is the fifth administration that we're now ensuring that all the budgets of departments and agencies begin to talk to the medium-term strategic framework in a much, much closer way. So Treasury now is looking at this DTSA to see how all departments help to achieve the common frame as opposed to separate departmental objectives. A lot of our work requires coordination with other departments. describe that sometimes our work constitutes the glue that holds things together. And in massive undertakings where you have so many people involved, coordination is critical. Lay the connection between projects and make sure that you have the energy flowing between different projects. And that's why the department that we're building is one where it puts a high premium on coordination skills, not in competing with other departments, but in coordinating. A lot of our work is on infrastructure, making sure that the departments working on infrastructure connect their work. And then, of course, even though this is a considerable piece of work with outline, from time to time there are work that are not foreseen in the ACP, which needs to be done, cabinet assignments, I assign it to the department, members of the public come to us with key areas and so on, and that is in addition to what is set out in the ACP. But the ACP does provide a detailed quarter-by-quarter roadmap that is your network that you know you can rely on to get the work done, and then building on that, additional tasks may be assigned. So that sets out the Jefferson, the presentation, Deputy Minister addressed the Portfolio Committee in Soweto on the overall frame, and I've gone into the detail of what it means at the quarterly level. Thank you very much for this opportunity to address the committee.
Thank you very much, Honourable Minister. and environmental management. I think some of those, when you're looking at an area and looking for a skill that will live in that area, you also need to look on the economic development type that you can get out of that area. Like in your region, and you region, let's say Nelson Mandela is an industrial area, which are more of focus on cars. But you cannot want, as much as you need agricultural people on that area, but also the things that are needed there are people that are able to be technically involved in those kind of mechanics and whatever in that area. So the economy of an area, which I think needs to, the focus that we need to make is to be able to, if you need to develop the economy of the country, you need to look in those areas. I think the economic development department should also look in those areas. When you go to an area, look at what type of economy or economic development is good for that area. That's the concern that I have. When the second one is, I'm not sure if that's my concern is in EPA. That's what I'm looking forward to seeing. The second is, when you look at Honorable Minister and the Deputy Minister at the program that the entities around this department or the government department that are working with you, the program that they have, do you think they need to move in those programs? If not, if you are not being very human, what is your plan in changing the focus of those investments so that we are able to fit the value of money in their program? Also, the third one, the last one, Honorable Chair, which is needing a focus of coherence in having issues that in their work, in the coordination of their work with the institutions, for example, with the other departments or the aspect of the government and the local, and also using the method also. I have said there is no coherent system that is there. They are still looking for the coherent system. Do you have a title of your coherent system, of the system, to make the system to be in full shape? What is your target? Are you going to take a year, or are you also going to maybe take 3 or 4 years, or divide it in a year so that you see the results, you assess the system, if it's working, if it's not working, then you will change it for me. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chair. And I'd like to commend the Minister on a very brief presentation. And also, obviously, it will be a grievance department with all the KPIs and all those requirements as well. Chair, I'd like to refer to the Minister's paper on number 4, and specifically talks about providing strategic support to job drivers with the EGP and motor that impacts on the economy of jobs and diseases to be focused on. And then, given the two agriculture, agro-processing, and mining and beneficiation. And I think I recall being one of our very first meetings, spoke about the problems of mining and the fact that there could well be a loss of jobs in the next going forward. I think your response was that you were looking at particularly the building of the Asambubu Dam, I think, in the labor saving areas to help create great sort of agricultural, better agricultural activity. I'm just wondering where we are and how that's progressing. Okay. And then the second thing, obviously, is mining and beneficiation is a main focus of yours. So I'm just wondering whether maybe you might see yourself up a little bit heavy on that, because when you come to the beneficiation story, before the visit, I think it was middle of the steel in the last year, our oversight meeting, and the people that run the world's still with Tassel Tasker. Since 2008, produced 54% of all the world's growing orchids, and we're down to 32% now, and the primary reason obviously is that the fact that energy scale is going to share. So, while I do understand that there's a major focus on others, and you know, to keep more beneficiaries to be done, even in the Republic, I'm just wondering how we can get around the issue of not having enough energy to be able to do it. And then the second point I'd like to make was on your KPI 14, when you're looking at the producers to support local procurement and businesses. So I've made comments which I think might be quite relevant to you there. On our most recent oversight visit on the US Soweto, on our final day, we went to the Bureau of Standards. And the chief and CEO of the US indicated that one of their great concerns, the fact that government doesn't necessarily follow the standard environment that the USA gets put in place. So in other words, when government procures, quite often the goods that need to be certain standards as well, or at least a certain standards that are qualified by the USA, yes. Quite often the government procurement doesn't follow those, and it's necessarily going to be cheaper to achieve. Although it actually follows the tax requirements and stuff like that. I just thought about process when you talk as well. Too much to what you do. Because if you want to do too much, then when you come here to, we might achieve 100%, which might be a lot. 100% is not a good score. You have to score higher. And I'm just wondering, maybe you could just comment on that, because going into the future, we must all be responsible and accountable. But it must also be fair and realistic. I'm not one of those persons to say that, you know, I don't think that there's not either, so I'm now, you know, I've got an extra grind with you. Economic development is the main thing. And you identify that. But it is how do you change that to reality? So one of the things that I've that maybe it's just a need of myself. Sometimes you talk about the new growth of strategies from the job owners. But then one must mirror that with a national development plan and say, how do this fit into that? Because sometimes people still tend to see this as two separate. The one support is a process for the other one, but is it holistic or is it selective? And maybe in the future, maybe I'm still a question, maybe possibly the point where I'm going to put more questions to you. And maybe I'm still asking a question to get clarity on that in terms of how this is actually fit in this other. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you. that one, simply the Honorable Minister. But in relation to the penalty, economic development is a top one. If you agree with him, the certain picture of the local insurance for the assessment community, you expect the supervision to handle it as an item for passing a national law. It disrupts our trade community. Are there some ideas? Do you have some ideas as to what we can do to try and mitigate? I know it is not the issue. But what happened with that? Well, it's not that I'm starting. That will be stopped soon from time. The last one refers to 2016, the Honorable Minister. The funding for township enterprises. The matter of township enterprises is a crucial one. Because it directly has no opportunities. But now the question is, file finding is very important for it. But the bottom is care. As to whether or not this is the enterprise that I'm going to find that will be changed to manage this supervisor's productivity, supervisor's profit. I know the IT has got a mechanism of monitoring and doing the balance of the business should overall also find some kind of money to get a trend that they are able to know as now, the impression that is necessary is that I know it's not in the bank. That's evident in the constitution of the state of the given the state of 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 the state.
So this summation and maybe like
thank you very much, Chairman, for your comments. Mr. Mine would not be specific to your program. And then that is the courage of what is for the Southwest. On page 3 in particular, number 4, addressing the social challenges of poverty and disadvantage and unemployment in the present of the present economic transformation. Not the basic tenets of economic learning in the context of the contracted state, the economic challenge. Maybe this way, Minister, I have had this short program since the session. Irrespective of how the foundations of funding is put forward, where and how it went, our people when they judge you, the and the overall program of government across all states, it will be about character of the elephants, things that went about, challenging them, taking them better in society, assisting them to streamline to poverty, assisting them to rise above the economic challenge. Now, I know you have said a lot about the variation of how your department interface with province and other places. But the fundamental problem in this is that our poverty is localized and is very specific. And more often I do not hear that there is a great synergy between the local state agencies, local municipalities, and programs that reach acquired on the exhaustion of these issues. It cannot be that poverty is just encouraging them from one of what is to that and it's discouraging English. There has to be a systematic way in which we say in calculation, this is where we were, this is where we are, this is where we propose to be in the next 7 you will be on a 15-year. And why don't you have more of that would move on to say our people in Montalante, Soweto, we basically try and remember about the impact. Thank you.
I know.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and fellow deputy members of the committee for the, as always, interesting and thoughtful questions that have been asked. I'm going to ask Deputy Minister to make a few remarks on the broad integration issue, and then I would take the opportunity after to respond to some of the specific questions that have come up. So with your Commission Chairperson, if I could first hand up to the Deputy Minister.
something that I want to say legacy better. We want people to remember this fragment back. You may wish that this fragment should not be remembered that we have reached, but at least the things that you want to help them and change their lives, as they indicate. So the minister indicated that we are going to come and go there. There are a number of drivers that we can assist the college to be able to give the session rather than anything. And it's not something new, something that we've been doing before, because we have our third economic sense. So when we are seeing or the field of part of the group, we look at areas of strength and weaknesses that are of the social media with a diagnosis strength. So the economic part on its own, we take that digital or digital strategy design, those areas that we need to improve on. And it's honorable matter, it's not much of a challenge. Because even the management of the structure
Thank you very much, Deputy Minister, for providing those specific responses. I start with the questions raised by Honourable Randall. Thank you for the comments on the quarterly topics. A number of honourable members raised different aspects of capacity, starting with a question on the US, which is, did we have underperformance in the department because of vacancies? Can we get the skills we need from outside? And do we have the skills that I still need inside? So, first on the underperformance, we were fortunate, I think, that we were able to achieve one of our targets. So, we do that because we're able to identify capacity in the state that's not fully utilized, and I've been bringing as part of our good example is the PICC. We've got about roughly 70 additional people doing work on the mandate president has requested me to carry out, but for which we don't pay from our budget and we don't pay from our staff. We work with all of that on our staff. In fact, if we overstaff, we wouldn't have vacancies, we have an overstaffing problem against our benefit. But if they are underutilized and they're on the public sector payroll, I should use them to drive, because that's what efficiency is about. So I think that it has affected our achievement of partners. Can we get skills outside? I think we get some of the skills outside that we need. Now, some of the skills don't want to work permanently in the public sector. And the system of getting consultants is not a system for the sector. Because what we do is we create a market in which people get their experience and their contacts and their knowledge in such things. And then they leave and they become a consultant with no accountability, but with enormous salaries that they, or the salaries payments that they are able to achieve. So we need to find a model that works differently. And the model that we want to develop is one where we can contract people as a long-term capacity of the state, but on more flexible contracts. So they don't have to work full-time permanently for the state, but they are a long-term resource that is capable of being utilized. I'll give an example in mediation. If you've got a major industrial dispute, there's a few specialist mediators around. Their market price is significantly higher than what EPLDG is. And if their skills are shared, they're not needed every day. They have a major critical challenge every single day. Every couple of years, a major meltdown that you need a top person. If you have that person as part of your expert panel, and you're able to utilize them as and when you need them. The rest of the time, they do work for the World Bank, the ILO, others internationally. But if you need them, you've got them available. And you don't have to get into a consultancy arrangement where they overcharge you and they disappear. They're an ongoing resource, but not a resource that necessarily sits in the EDD office in Pretoria from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock, waiting for the clock to get to 5 o'clock so that they can go home. So that's the innovation, and I was really encouraged that the Public Service Commission is actually encouraging us to find innovative solutions to the challenges we face. On the question that we got the right skill internally, and I took the honourable answer that you were asking it, A for EDD, but B for broadly for government. But in EDD, I think it is going to be a process now of getting the right mix of skills. We've got some of that internally, but there are gaps that we need to fill. On the other departments, we have very good examples of the skills that's needed in a metro. They're very different to a rurally based district municipality. And I want to say, EDD must help in the sense that we need a group of technical people in EDD that can help a municipality identify what is the skills problem. So we can't do the extension of the work, but we can say to them, if you're in, let's say, Makana, you need the following skills mix in your economic development department. And that's why we've got 8 initiatives that we will undertake with provinces. A lot of it will be work with one province at a time. We found that this thing where you get all the provinces in one room and you deal with them all, they're all not disappearing. There's a lot of better looking document that come out of it than nothing else. You don't change what the province does. So Deputy Minister is really leading our work on the provinces, and who, among the many that we still has got an exceptional CV of experience at provincial level, having served not only as an official but also as an executive authority in a number of different departments. So he's got a good sense of the differences that province or challenges that the provinces face. So what we have now hope to do is going to deal with an ATP of a province. So what any government entities do is it is a new policy framework. They get a consultant in. The consultant just inserts key words that speak to the policy framework, but they don't change what they actually do. It's just the explanation is different, but the, what do we call it? Old wine in new bottles. So what you want to do is work with the province and say, look, what tactically will you do differently? If you're getting the following outcomes on agriculture, and you need to lift it up, you can't do it by a speech of an MEC, or you can't do it by a document that's got a different language. You need it by saying your budget will go to a different place, your staff skills will be a different set, or your judgment staff will be managed in a different way. So that very tactical thing that is needed in those KPI products, rather than simply these big conferences and workshops. So that's how we want to try to do it. I think it's going to be done step by step. We're not going to achieve in 12 months everything, but we will have a chance to come back to the portfolio committee and say where we think, where our partner province is on this issue. And then I heard about that both the portfolio committee and I, as the executive authority, will get the department to take a pilot in Pumalanga, keep it with us, and roll it out elsewhere in the country. To take a different kind of pilot in Western Cape, if it works, roll it out elsewhere. And so we take each of the different areas, and you see in that KPI, these different products. Which is also the question that Honorable Rambo asked about, how long will it take to get the years in the agencies operating in the free sphere. This year, we'll deal with it in one province. We'll come back to the portfolio committee, and we want to see what the problems are. We just think the problems are not principally technical, they're principally political. And in a positive way also, not just in a negative way. In a positive way is, you know, every mayor needs to be a leader. That would be very practical. Media is out of the room now, I think. Every premier has to be re-elected. So they all create their institutions that can give them the ability to do that. It's how a democracy works. You know? And as Honorable Bata once said, there must also be remembered 20 years later. Now, I can understand the political imperative. It makes sense. But if the consequence is duplication and waste, can you achieve the same objectives and integrate? So for example, if we get a company to back its small business funding agency into CIFA as an example, can we then agree that that province will play the lead when our events have to be cut? The premier is so prominent in the process of the event, the mayor is so prominent. And you know, we'll sort of make sure that there's a little bit of a role for the national executive. But then we find a model where we don't have to create our own institutions to show voters we are delivering. Because you can't tamper with the democracy. Everybody's ultimately accountable. But our role in this process is to avoid what I see now as a proliferation of structures. They don't talk to each other. So there are different ways in which we want to do this. And we're going to start to solve one problem. See how can we help with integration. When CIFA was one, people said it was not impossible to integrate the different agencies. That is only difficult to say, but CIFA is now functioning and being, Minister Zulu is engaging with it. She will find a coherent agency. Not one without its difficulties, but a coherent agency. Can we create similar coherence in the intersphere or okay, that's I think what the Honorable Rambo also asked, is there value for money of the different departments and their subsidies and programs. That's what the work will show. I suspect there is value. I suspect there are jobs, but I'm not sure it's always it In other words, I think we can sometimes get all with the same money. And so we need to work with the departments. So this program is actually not giving us enough jobs. We don't take your money away. We're not saying there's going to take your money away. Put that money into a higher performing program. So that's, I think, how we want to deal with that. But this is going to be an important area for us. Honorable Atkinson, so thank you very much for the comments that you've made. And I want to illustrate the issue with exactly the example that you cited. If we take agriculture, we all agree that to reduce the levels of unemployment, agriculture must play a new role. We've got a multiplicity of programs. We've got people coming through the land bank, the 9 provincial programs, the IDC supports some agro-processing, the DTI has some programs that companies in agro-processing can access and so on. So by creating a national, we can see where is the money and we have been. And are people double the thing? Are we leaving out key areas? For example, should we build on standards and success now with double resources and effort fees to try to build more soya crushing plants than air grade soya crushing plant district? Now, all of that can work if we integrate and coordinate. Part of the coordination and integration is exactly infrastructure. And so that's where the story of things in Google and the other dams are critical. By the way, I think Minister Okunian is going to be making an announcement in the budget on Stephen, so I'm going to just hold back her announcement so that there's a little bit of story that she can tell there, which is very excited about it, on this Google dam. But there you can solve both your agriculture problem. Remember the eastern part of the Eastern Cape as colleagues Ranto and Pukini will tell us always historically neglected. And that part is just not really taken off. And it also has an impact on mining for the reason exactly that you've given a big labor center in the area. I think Honorable Atkinson, you're right, that the energy constraint is going to make beneficiation tougher. Must acknowledge that. But we're addressing the energy constraint now with a big bolt program and its sluggishness and its problems and so on, but it's getting there. Beneficiation is a many-year program. Because it takes years to get off the ground, everybody sits waiting, doing nothing. So it's not that by the end of this year that we will actually have beneficiated projects, but we will have identified what can we do, what are the value chains, what is the price difference that the constraints on the input costs. In other words, if iron ore was 5% cheaper, would it make a difference to South African manufacturers? Can AMSA expand the operations of Hyundai? It's going into that detail and working with others. By the way, there's some beneficiation taking place, not enough, but some. And so it's also understand what are the problem of the chrome players besides energy. And energy is the big one. But are there other constraints? If energy were resolved, could they increase from a 54% high point they had to a further one to be the constraint? So it's working for all of that that we want to focus on. On the SMEs, I'd be interested to hear the specific details and follow it up and perhaps come back on a more informed observation. Even if the SMEs comments relating in some way to localization, which I suspect it's not, but even if that, then we now have a program on improving the measuring of localization. Are we actually doing what we say we want to do? Even if technical standards, it would be good to know what those technical standards are that some of the state departments are not adhering to. And if they are functional, then we must make action immediately. Because we obviously, it's foodstuffs, and it's an SMEs standard or this safety work there for firefighters, fighting cell fires and so on. You don't want to compromise people's safety. So I think we need to just find out a little bit. And what I would like to do is assign one of the officials to you, just meet with the SMS and obtain that information. And maybe one of the quarterly reports, we could just mention, by the way, what the outcome of that has been. Honorable Murray, thank you for the comment. of big bureaucracies. In operation of the world, is governance not always challenged by how do you integrate? Some countries that are small, if you're under city states like Singapore, where relatively cohesive administration, Malaysia, the problems are fewer. But even Malaysia, they came here to do a presentation which helped us to develop Operation Pakisa. They sent someone from Malaysia Chapel, who was a minister and is now retired, and he's been drawn in by the Prime Minister's office. And Malaysia is a much smaller country in terms of its development challenges and its physical size and geographic regions on than we are. And it's got a tighter system than our three spheres. And they were telling us all the problems of coordination. And they put a lot of work into trying to overcome that, which we are trying to learn from, they call it big fast results. We call it Operation Pakisa. And it's really getting to how do you get things there. So the one thing is, of course it's true that in any case other colleagues and other agencies and other spheres need to do things. And there will be times when a sphere or an agency or a colleague doesn't quite do the thing. But there will be many instances when, through a rational process, we actually get this off. And when something doesn't get done, as they previously said, we've got an economic cluster for national, and we've got the limits. Sort of peer support and peer working together helps to unblock. Our experience has been that, in fact, the result is not as big of a strength as it may appear from the outside, because every executive authority also wants to succeed for their own, for the purpose of their program being achieved and their performance agreement with the president being adhered to. Often we help them to achieve that. And so there's everybody, the more you can create a vested interest of people wanting to work together, the more you get people working together. And so the vested interest is we help you to achieve your medium-term strategic framework objectives. So that is not something that is as critical, but it doesn't mean there won't be gaps. There will be, and we'll need to deal with those. Honourable Murray asked the question, how is it even really possible to do all of this? Is it not much? What if we only get 50%? Wouldn't that be a good one? Now, I want to digress for a moment, Jensen, because I think there's something about our public discourse that I would like to just weigh into a little bit, because it will come back to the committee from time to time. If we set the target of 100,000 rotators, solo rotators, and we achieve 105,000, then we have overachieved by 5%. So we could. If for the same period we had set the target of 500,000, and we actually achieved 250,000, we only get 50%. We look bad. Which of the two has benefited South Africans more? Look at how you look in the media. The one that has benefited South Africans more is the one with 250,000 units that have been rolled out. You know, in my example of saying, thank you for the same period and so on. So in other words, I think in government we need to learn to set such targets. Targets that it is a chance that we won't get 100%. But if people will look at the underlying work and say, have you achieved enough for us not only to say we're satisfied, but actually we've praised that department or that entity, we've done brilliant. We've set you a stretch target. Stretch target means exactly that. No soccer team goes into a league and says, our goal is to be seventh on the league at the end of the season. Don't set that goal. Your goal is, I'm going to be first. If you were 16th and you get to 7th, you feel very happy. You feel delighted. I know some crazy chiefs people be, I bet they don't go there. But I think that that's really, you know, it is a point scoring public discourse that commentators in the media and elsewhere does. Then we must hit the lowest possible targets. We must try to do as little as possible because we'll never fail. But then let our people down. I would rather that they got the constitution, but actually the constitution they got, it was a good constitution. It had solid, real impact on the lives of people, and for the budget, and that should be, for the budget, they did well. They didn't overspend and underachieve. So, that's really the approach. So, I know this is a topic, especially if we're not going to simply measure occasional meeting. Some are meeting specific, so there you measure the meetings, but other you've got to measure impact in communities. It's going to be a stretch. Will we achieve brilliantly? I don't think so. But if we set too modest a goal, we'll always achieve it, and our people will never feel stretched. Our circumstances, poverty, unemployment, and inequality mean that we must do double, triple, if we do 4 times what government is doing now, it will still not be enough for the enormity of our problems. And that's why I prefer a stretch target. And I work on the basis of the portfolio committee, which is a very thoughtful committee. It will look at the results. It's not going to be a fixation with percentages. It's to say, look, you actually, in some key areas, have achieved it. If I think all my targets are to no change, no impact in the community. It was, fine, you complied, but come on, Minister, the point is not complying. The point is having an impact in community. So that's what I want to suggest is really the way in which one must look at it. Else we will create a system where the purpose is simply to look good rather than to help transform the lives of South Africans. On the NGP strategies and how they fit into the national development plan, there's been a number of parliamentary questions on it which I have replied over the years and other colleagues have done. I think they fit very, very well, but the National Development Plan essentially does, beyond detail. It says by 2030, there's a certain kind of South Africa we have to see. South Africa with 10 million new jobs that have been created, a South Africa with a balanced economy, with a growth rate that is on the middle to upper side of what economies of the size and the shape will have, one that's integrated peacefully into the African continent, one in which every child can go through the education system and get a job at the end of it. It sets out the vision. And it sets out a number of, in each of the chapters, a number of elements of what can be done. So that will be in the NGP. And it sets out a common frame. What it then did was, because while the National Development Plan was being worked on, we were also working simultaneously on the NGP. The NGP is much broader than the economy. It looks at demographics. It looks at international relations. It looks at the environment. It looks at all of that. Putting that together coherently is a new growth for the next 2 points. Fundamentally, what is our intention? It says, number one, growth, but with job-yielding growth. You can get growth without jobs. You can get growth with low jobs, you can get growth with high jobs. It says, get growth with high jobs. And then secondly, it comes up with 10 job sizes, areas to focus on, and then the policies to support that. What are the policies to support that competition? And so later when I make one additional comment to Honorable Barker's point, I'll illustrate that. So they talk very well to each other. But the new growth fund and the National Development Plan is still at a very high level. It doesn't say what the department must do in the next quarter. So that's why we've got things like IFAP, now voting the Agriculture Policy Action Plan, the National Infrastructure. They're not policy documents. They don't say from a policy point what must we do. They simply say what must each department do for the next 3 months, next 6 months, 9 months, 12 months, to give effect to the broader one. So that's how they relate to each other. Honorable Tani, first thank you again for the comments. I think you put a very interesting point about testing and experimenting. And you may think it's a view from Soweto or from South Africa only. But I want to say what you put down, let me put it this way. In the new growth fund, we quote one world leader only. And it's very unusual in a government document to quote the leader of another country. Governments don't do that. But we found the quotes that cabinet liked so much the cabin chair, that's correct. You can leave it in the Eucharist box. And the quote was from the leader, one of the leaders of China, a man called Deng, Deng Xiaoping. And he said something very simple. He said, and someone asked him, what was China's secret? What was your blueprint? What was China's development plan? Because we'd like to copy it. He said, China's development plan was like crossing a river by feeling for the stones with your feet. In other words, they did things, they see what worked, and then they do more of that. They didn't sit down before 1979, which is the key moment when they opened the economy, and come up with a plan to solve all the problems. They experimented, they made mistakes, they're still making mistakes. They reverse their mistakes. Our problem is sometimes when we make mistakes, we stay stuck with a program. We love the program even when it's not working. Instead of saying, look, this is not working for us. Try something else. Keep on experimenting. It's what economies are. Economies are complex organisms. No, it's someone other principles. You say how you can become wealthy as an economy, that person would be a multi-billionaire because every government employs them. There is no simple path to development. So I want to endorse exactly what I think you said on the vocabulary. On these specific questions you put to us, on private investment, I think on 10%, as I said earlier, it's really hard to create jobs, but not always as efficiently as we want to. By efficiency, what I mean is for every billion rand state makes available, we must keep on pushing to get more and more jobs for the billion rand worth of incentives. You can't, in the world we live in, if you get, you know, let's say, 2,000 jobs out of a billion rand's worth of incentives, you can't just be relaxed with that. Next time around, you tweak the program to get even more value for government from it. Because the private sector needs to be put on terms. When they get public incentives, they must earn the public incentives. We simply give handouts and you make a lazy culture within capital. You're not going to be a competitive economy. You've got to create one where people constantly look for angle. They look at how to reduce the cost, expand the product range and so on. On the technical expertise, I want to agree that the more external expertise EDD brings in, the more it must make sure its internal core is capable and competent, because you've got to manage all of these expert panels and technical teams and agencies and so on. And so that's I think what we need to strengthen further. It's not where I would like it to be. So I think that point. We've got some strength, but I think we can do more in that area, especially if we're going to go into this new model. On the prices of commodities, what can we do? We can mitigate. So we can't really influence what happens to prices because we're a small player. We didn't talk about what we can do where we're a big player, like platinum. So, but generally what we can do is, if we know mineral prices are going to go down, as they are currently, there are two things we must do. One is to make sure we improve the competitiveness of our mineral extraction. That means better rail lines, better water systems, and so on, so that the mines can keep the things up at the price that can still keep us in the market. And the second thing is we need to beneficiate more. You know, for every ton of gold that you need, the amount of jewelry you make out of it is a little bit small. But the value add in jewelry is so much higher than in giving of gold. In platinum, in each of our main minerals, we are transforming it. So if we transform more of that, even if prices drop, even if demand drops, you're creating jobs beyond the mine. And then, of course, we've got to balance our economy more. If an economy is so dependent just on minerals, it is dangerous. You know, 4 or 5 years ago, when the mineral prices were high, and we were talking of beneficiation, there were some individuals from Europe and Australia who said to us, no, you know, the government is going the wrong direction. You must just become a world-class mineral exporter. Then others were more, who got a comparative advantage in beneficiation, in processing, they didn't do that. now that the commodity cycle has turned and demand for minerals is drying up and prices have come down, you can see the fallacy of that advice. Because it means at least during good times when you're in the commodity, the upswing of the commodity cycle, in other words, prices are going up, and you stop when it goes down. A balanced economy has a little extraction, it's got manufacturing, it's got services sector, it's got agriculture. You're never dependent on the performance of only one sector of the economy, because it's got control economies. We can influence economies, we can nudge them and so on, but we live in a world of markets, and we can influence markets. And that's why I think it's important to have a balanced economy, which is exactly what the New Growth Park calls for. Pepe, I did see the Township Enterprises, spot on, management productivity issues. I'm going to raise the issue with EDB, how we can ensure that we look at exactly sustainable township enterprises. And that means it's not just industrial planning, it's also a question of training. I know the chairperson is quite passionate about that, and she's raised that kind of issue in the past. So that is not our primary area of focus, the Department of Small Business Development and EDI. We'll try to work with them to make sure that that happens. On the turbulence in townships, I think the critical thing is more Black of Africans must see economic opportunity for themselves. If we fail in that, then we will have the difficulties we have. And so that's why we all now are committed to putting a lot more effort into the focus of township economies. On the Wombata, I think the Deputy Minister's replied to how we'd like to be amended. But I'd like to believe that John Lumbata himself would be able to remember that his time in the committee was the committee where, among others, we substantially increased the level of industrial funding. We created the beginnings of a green energy sector through the investment by the IEDC, which is very, very substantial, many billions cents worth. About 15 million rands worth investment in green energy. They were beginning to tackle the cartels and the monopolies that distort our markets, that limit the entry of new players. We've taken quite serious action against them. More than 5 billion rands worth of fines, which is 10 times higher than it was in the preceding 5 years. I would wish that infrastructure program that says we actually need to build the foundations for the future would be things that would all be part of that. Because economic justice is a consequence of things like decent jobs, of combating income inequality, of giving all South Africans a secondary economy, of ensuring that young people can end as entrepreneurs and can create cooperatives and so on. That's how we achieve economic justice. And that's what I think we'd like this government as a whole to be remembered for. So I think it's in those kinds of areas that we see real impact. Chairperson, on regional integration and the role of infrastructure that we've asked, I think that infrastructure is critical to integration. We're not going to get integration in an African continent by simply removing tariff barriers. We did that to study. We found that it helped to spread a little bit. But the big problem is not whether you're going to pay tariffs. The big problem is taking an enormous amount of time to shift goods made in South Africa to Tanzania. Because we don't have enough of the smart, modern, fast networks, rail networks or road networks. Our ports are not well connected to each other. So Minister Hadebe has now been given the responsibility by the President to take that step and really drive around regional integration. So we're very hopeful if we can make progress. We had a meeting in Bloss in January where we met with the banking sector to see how we can raise money from private banks to help African infrastructure. So I think that's going to be quite a key thing. You mentioned energy, Chairperson. I think the game changer is for South Africa is going to be Grand Inga. But in the short term, the Lesotho Highlands Water Project is to pump water from Lesotho to Gauteng, and in the process also creates a hydro energy in Lesotho that can help to industrialize Lesotho itself. On the Kalahari port of Lupa rail line, it's not in supply because we got concerned that Saldanha's long-term future is going to be in gas and iron ore. So the line from Sishen against iron ore goes to Saldanha, and we're going to be expanding the port with a lot more focus on gas, oil rigs and so on. And then we're developing the port of Lupa, which is in Sub 3, to be the place where we need to build a manganese terminal, and long term, in other words, not immediately on the horizon, but longer term, we want to build a manganese smelter in the Kupa IDC. We built a center plant in Wakasal, which is also, if you've got manganese, the first stage of transformation is sinking, and then the second one is smelting. And the third one, steel making, we take the manganese, mix it with iron ore and certain kinds of coal, coking coal, and you produce steel. And you can add other quantities to it depending on what kind of steel you want. So, step by step, we want to try to promote that. There's quite a lot of work that's been done by Transnet on the rail line. In the short term, the iron ore rail line is also used for manganese. But in the long term, we see the main area will be in the port of Lupa. So that's the area there. So thank you, Chairperson. I think we've responded to the various questions. The jobs issue is the key issue that we'll focus on. And I think that it's our difficulties because there are new headwinds that we can see in the local economy. And you know, you can do quite a lot right domestically. But if you don't have a favorable global environment, it's an uphill battle. But that means more energy on African integration. And our hope is that in the long run, we're looking at the time horizon beyond 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, that Africa is the growing part of our own future. And I think that only indicates that it could. When you do that trade analysis that I spoke of in one of the KPIs by the end of June, we need to come back to the committee and show how much of our exports actually go to other African countries. In some products, we sell more to African countries, other African countries, than we sell to Europe, the United States, China, and others. So that, if I really want to step back with a concluding comment, is African integration is an absolutely key part of our vision for the future. And these KPIs, even though they don't speak to each of our economic strategies, they will help us to achieve those strategies. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Chair. And we what I'm taking from the whole presentation is that development coordination. That is the work that you've done. And that your work, the way to be done with the strategic plan to align the NGP. More effort on integration, more work to be aligned to the NGP. FIFA to remain the host of the IBC while the baby runs of the public department. Yes, and the work that is being done through infrastructure program will of course. So we will verify our new